Summer will officially be here on June 21st. So what better time to start talking about summertime wine? What's refreshing? What's new? Maybe a must try as we head into those hot summer months. Joining me live in studio to talk more about this is local sommelier Joseph DiGrigoli. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Gemma.
I'd like to start just by asking you a little bit about yourself and how you got into the whole wine industry to the point of becoming a sommelier.
Yeah, well, it's actually a funny story. I went to college in New York City, and while I was there, I started working in restaurants just as a way to make money. One summer, I took a second job as a cellar hand at an Italian restaurant, and through Joe Campanelli, who was the beverage director of that restaurant, I sort of got into it. I was just moving bottles around, and he was gracious enough to let me taste with them every week for 4 hours. Did that 6 months.
That's a hard job.
Yeah, exactly. Not too tough, but doing that 4 hours a week for 6 months, I got to taste hundreds and hundreds of wines and sort of built my palate and knowledge from there. Started taking a few classes and then eventually took both the level one and level two sommelier tests with the Court of Master Sommeliers and worked in restaurants for a while in New York City and San Francisco. And then since moving to Boise, I've sort of pivoted to doing classes and some private party work and stuff like that. So, yeah, sort of just bits and pieces, I guess, is how I got into it.
And tell me about how the industry itself has changed since you got into it. And I asked that because off mic, we were talking a little bit about how you've been doing this for more than a decade, but it's really changed.
Yeah, it's night and day. I mean, I think very similar to the way the food scene has changed and people are becoming more exploratory and care about where their produce is grown and supporting local producers. It's similar with wine. People are much, much more open-minded. When I started, it was Chardonnay for white wine, Cabernet for red wine. Basically, that's it. And anything else was a real hard sell for people. But now you can say, oh, I think you'd really like this Zweigelt from Austria. And somebody will be like, oh, I'll give it a shot.
Oh, I'll try it.
Yeah. And so I think just as, you know, food culture and drinking culture has advanced and proliferated, the wine scene has moved along with it.
And speaking of wine, let's talk about that ideal summer wine. What should someone be looking for?
For me, for summer wine, you want something refreshing, unfussy. It's probably not the time to break out that old bottle of Barolo you've had in the cellar for, you know, 2 years. Instead, I like white wines from Sicily, from the Loire Valley. I drink a ton of Muscadet in the summer. It goes great with oysters. I also like, if you're going to go red wine, you want to do something lighter skinned. Mm-hmm. Pinot Noir is great. Oregon Pinot Noirs. Especially, I'm really high on this producer, Kelly Fox, right now. She makes unbelievable, approachable Pinot Noir that would be great for summertime. Beaujolais does well with grilled meats. I would say what I look for in a summer wine is something high acid, fresh, zippy, not too high of alcohol. A 15% Chateauneuf du Pape might be great for a long, cold dinner, but you don't want to be drinking that stuff all day.
Well, right. So you talk about it too. You said you tend to refer to them as sippers,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. You want a wine that you can sip and enjoy throughout the course of the day. That's why rosé is such a popular summer standby, right? It's not oppressive. It's not going to really fatigue your palate, or you're not going to drink two glasses of it and be like, wow, I
gotta
need
go
to change
sleep
it
now.
Up.
Yeah,
exactly.
I was going to ask you about that with rosé because it's really, you know, almost had a comeback because I remember when I was younger, it was like, it's almost embarrassing to drink something that's pink.
Yeah. And I think, when we talk about like the wine prejudices of a previous generation, I think you could lump in rosé with Riesling as something
right.
that people said, I don't touch it. But as the market has, you know, brought to us better rosé from American producers, from French producers, even you can get really great Austrian rosé that I would recommend looking out for. I think people have just sort of found that it's really nice. It's approachable wine. It's never going to be profound, but
who
needs
that? But that's okay sometimes,
yeah, exactly.
Right? I'm speaking with Joseph DiGrigoli. He is a local sommelier. We're talking about the best summertime wines. And speaking of like Riesling, you know, when we look at local wines, Coiled, they won a very big award for their Riesling.
Yeah,
and that made huge news when that happened.
Yeah, and it's delicious stuff. And I think a lot of the Idaho producers are using not the typical grapes. You can find a lot of great Viognier made in the state. That's good for summertime. Split Rail makes a Pet Knot style wine, which is a style of sparkling wine that's fermented in the bottle. It's called Bruce Lee's.
Bruce Lee? That's hilarious.
And I recommend checking that out. Sparkling wine, also great for summer. And Riesling, yeah. Please, guys, if you take one thing away from this, drink more Riesling. if you're scared of sweetness, Austrian Riesling is always dry. You can get a lot of German Riesling that's dry. Just look for Trocken on the bottle, which is German for dry. And you won't have any of the sugar that you are afraid of.
Because that is, back in the day, Riesling was sweet.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people have an aversion to dessert wines, but Riesling, even Riesling with a little bit of residual sugar, is not going to be syrupy sweet, and is really, really great for food because the acidity is so high.
So I was just at Savor Idaho yesterday, and I tried, I believe it was a sparkling wine from Coiled. Is that the type of wine you're talking about as well, kind of that? I don't remember the name of it. It was good.
It refers to how the wine is fermented. So you'll often see on bottles method traditional, which means it's fermented like champagne. There are a lot of ways to make sparkling
wine. Oh,
it's
a traditional method. Yeah. Okay, so fancy method.
Yeah, you can't say method champenois, or if you're in the EU, they don't allow it because champagne can only be made in champagne.
But of course,
basically, cava is made the same way. Which is second fermentation in the bottle, and then it's disgorged. Pet Knot is sort of like that, except it's just finished fermented in the bottle. You can often tell because they'll often have the beer crown caps on them.
Okay, I've seen those. Yeah. All right. Talk to me a little bit about this ABV cocktail trend.
Yeah, so low ABV cocktails are cocktails that, instead of being based with your traditional spirits, which run at about 40% ABV, might be vermouth-based or sherry-based. So instead of basing your cocktail with something very high alcohol, you're starting with a lower base alcohol level, which allows you to make really flavorful drinks that you can actually drink all day. Like, I love drinking Manhattans, but you can't do a summer cookout
and
drink
Manhattans.
Manhattans,
you will not
right?
make it through the day yeah. with that.
And those are starting to proliferate on restaurant list. Petit Four has a great low alcohol program. Red Feather has devoted a portion of their list. I was just there the other day and had a great drink that was basically a Negroni with no gin and replaced and a little bit of soda water, and just so good. Just vermouth and Campari soda water. You could drink it all day.
So does it make that low alcohol level, does it make it almost a bit more refreshing, especially for summertime?
Absolutely, and it makes it more palatable, and it's much better than taking your standard gin and tonic or something and diluting it to the point where it tastes like you're drinking like something you
tonic.
Drank in college.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it allows you to make really flavorful stuff without ratcheting the alcohol up, and vermouth, Amaro, the Campari, liqueurs, these are great for that. Oftentimes you can just take your favorite cocktail and mess with the proportions to the point where you have a low alcohol version, and then that's great for a summer party.
And talk about that cookout, that, you know, people go to the cookouts and all of that. How do you make like a great, you know, wine list or that low alcohol cocktail?
Yeah, I mean,
list?
I would recommend doing one sessionable cocktail, something low alcohol. It's obviously, people love beer. It's great to have one lighter beer, a lager, and then maybe an IPA or something a little more robust for the hopheads. And then wine-wise, I think obviously you want a white wine. Again, if you're looking for a specific recommendation, I love Benanti's Etna Bianco, a white wine from Sicily. It has a really, really great maritime influence, almost like a salinity character to it, really delicious. A rosé is great. Provence rosé, there is a ton on the market, so you have to be careful because it's so popular. But you can get great rosés from California. Tribute to Grace make a Grenache rosé that's really great. Sinsky makes a lot of Pinot Noir rosés. I would recommend just going to a good retailer, go to City Center Wines on Main Street, go to the Co-op, go to Erickson and Eagle, and just ask them for higher acid, food-friendly stuff, and they'll turn you on to some great, great stuff.
And what are some of your favorite Idaho summer wines? Because, you know, a lot of people want to stay local.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the stuff Split Rail does. They make a Cinsault. They all have strange names. It's called like Laser Cat or something like that.
Oh, I saw them yesterday. Yes, yeah. They do. They have funny names. It's something donkey something.
Yeah, exactly. But they make a lot of great wines. I like Talaya makes really good wines. Coiled, as you were saying, really, really good wines. And look for the whites. Look for the lighter skin varieties. A lot of people do Rhone varieties. varietals, Grenache-based wines that are going to be not as inky and oppressive as a Cabernet Sauvignon, which, yeah, I just wouldn't recommend.
Wouldn't do that in the summer, yeah.
One other thing to note in terms of just serving the wines.
Very quickly, because we got to wrap
it up. Okay, yeah. Chill your red wine a little bit. You don't want it to be the ambient temperature. If the ambient temperature is 100 degrees, try to get it 60 to 70. You'll find it a lot more refreshing and enjoyable.
I really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much. And, of course, go to City Center Wines if you'd like to learn more.